And I have with me on the line Rabbi Galperin.
Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning, Rabbi. How are you?
I am doing well, thank God. Baruch Hashem.
So are you ready for the holiest day of the year?
Which I'm trying to, honestly. You know, it's the, you know, you finally got to get to the climax of, you know, everyone talks about Rosh Hashanah is a very holy day and so on and so forth. But Rosh Hashanah, really, if you think about it, is the introduction to getting us ready for Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
So I hope by Friday night, tomorrow evening, I will be ready and prepared to face Hashem and God and ask God to give us whatever we need. So God willing.
Good. So you probably will tell our listeners what is Yom Kippur.
Yes. What I was thinking about doing is Yom Kippur. Everyone thinks, you know, the main idea of praying. And really, does really praying really even make a difference? You know, if God already has this will that this is what is going to happen, so do I change? Can I really change it? So that's something that I wanted to discuss as well, because I think that's very important about Yom Kippur. And then go into some of the laws of Yom Kippur and some of the preparations that we have for Yom Kippur. So we will try and cover that in a very, very short amount of time. The question is always asked, can we really change our destiny through prayer? You know, if God has already decided things, how can we really, really change our prayer? God's will through prayer. And the Rambam, Maimonides, writes, and he says like this, we are told to offer up prayers to God in order to establish firmly the true principle that God takes notice of our ways, that success and failure are not the result of chance or accident. And we even see even a step further. Leah, our matriarch, one of our mothers, changed her destiny twice through prayer. Number one, she married Jacob instead of Esau. She was meant to marry Esau, and she prayed really hard.
And she got Jacob.
With the right intention, kavanah. So she was able to change that, as well as she was also able to change the fetus from a male to a female, and that's when she was able to give birth to Dinah. So ultimately we see that if she was able to do it, anyone's able to, if you have the right intention, the kavanah, you're able to change your destiny through prayer, absolutely. I mean, obviously, you know, you have to have the right kavanah, the right intention to be able to, when you're praying. You know, it's brought down, it says that prayer without kavanah, without intention, is like a body without a soul.
Yeah.
And so one of the interesting things that we see that Hannah, we read about it on Rosh Hashanah, so, is praying to God. She doesn't have a child. She's praying to God that she should give her a child, and her child will automatically be a tzaddik. She'll give it over to God, and God gives her the son Shmuel, Samuel, which you know, becomes the famous, one of the famous prophets. And the question is how was Hannah able to do such a thing like this? If this was something that was her destiny, that destiny that she was not going to have a child according to nature, how is it that she could change now? And it becomes such an important prayer, even more than a lot of other prayers that people that have asked for children and so on and so forth. So, you know, there's really a difference between a blessing and a tefillah, a prayer, a bracha and a prayer. You know, a bracha means that we're gathering, where we want that the blessing should flow from above to below, is that the idea that it should come from the above to the recipient, the blessing is already in its card. It's just that we need to be able to figure out a way to bring it down from potential to reality. However, and you don't really need that much kavanah in order to do that, to your intention to bring down a blessing. I can tell you, I bless you that you should have a lot of health and wealth. That's very good. You know, I mean it. I don't mean it doesn't make sense. I can give you that blessing. That opens up the channels that it should come down into reality. On the other hand, a prayer, a tefillah, you know, when we say on Rosh Hashanah, we say on different places, Yehi Ratzon thought it should be the will of God, that God should give us a healthy, sweet new year. Now, when we say that we should be with the will of God, that means that that will doesn't exist.
We have to make it.
We are now going to put it into the cards. It doesn't exist in the cards.
Yeah.
And so therefore, we ask God to create something completely to a new reality. And so kavanah, the right intention, is what is really crucial and necessary in changing this will. So when we go to shul on Yom Kippur and we pray with the right kavanah, the right intention, we can automatically change the will of God. And this was Hannah's prayer, that the idea that she was so involved with so much intent that she was able to persuade that God should have a different will and create this new will that was against all the odds and against nature, that she was able to do that. Interesting thing enough is that the angel who is in charge of when a child is ready to be conceived, his name is Lila, and he comes up to God and he says, this child that's about to be conceived, what is it going to be? Is it going to be weak, strong, intelligent, wealthy, poor? But there's one thing that the angel does not ask. The angel doesn't ask, is he going to be wicked or righteous? Because it says in the Gemara, everything is in the hand of the heaven, except for fear of heaven. Hakol bidei shamayim chut meyirei shamayim. Everything is in the hands of God,
yeah,
except from the fear of God. That God gives us the choice. Prayer, God gives us the choice. He gives us this opportunity to bring out and illustrate the true essence and power of prayer, that it can accomplish things that nothing else can accomplish. Now, when God forbid someone is sick, what's the thing we do? We don't bless the person. We go and we pray. Why do we pray? We want God to change the faith and the will of this person. And we're able to do that if we have the right intention. And so that's something that is so important on Yom Kippur, is that when we come to synagogue on Yom Kippur and we're ready to pray, let's pray with the right intentions. You'd be surprised what prayer is able to do and what it is really able to accomplish. Now, there's a bunch of laws on Yom Kippur. There are five pleasures that we avoid on Yom Kippur, and the five are eating and drinking, wearing leather footwear, bathing or washing, applying ointment, lotions, and creams, unless it's for medical purposes that you need to have it, for whatever reason the doctor decides, engaging in any form of spousal intimacy. And the reason is because we are compared on Yom Kippur to angels. We have no physical need, and therefore these things we don't need. Obviously we're talking about in the spiritual sense. And it's also customary, a lot of people don't know, that we don't wear a lot of gold jewelry on Yom Kippur. Because if everyone remembers that the golden calf, the Chet HaEgel, was done before the Jews received the Torah. And when did God forgive them for that, for the golden calf? He forgave them on the day of Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
And so therefore, on the Day of Atonement, we don't want to remind the prosecutor, the Satan, of our past sins, that he can go to God and say, hey, why are you giving them this and this? Why are you forgiving them? Look what they did. So a lot of people, we do not have the custom, we have the custom not to wear a lot of gold jewelry on Yom Kippur.
Yeah, and besides that, we are supposed to torture our souls, right? Like,
well, it's not really, because at the end of the day, we're not torturing our soul, because we want to be able to deprive, to a certain extent, our body, enabling us to give the soul the ability to ask God and to pray to God with a full heart without any distractions, that we should be able to get and change the will of God. So in essence, we're really taking away from the body, giving the soul the ability to do what it really has to do.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of preparations before Yom Kippur. The day before Yom Kippur, today, tonight, I'm actually going to go tonight. We do kaparot, where we, there's a lot of things in the world that we've done that, according to Torah law, according to the rabbis and so on and so forth, we should be killed as a punishment for the sins that we've done. But we do not. We then go and do kaparot, atonement with a chicken, and then that chicken is then given to poor people.
Yeah.
It's also on tomorrow, on Friday, it's a very big mitzvah to eat and drink a lot, especially, you know, the two meals in the morning or in little early afternoon and then just before the fast. And the reason is because it's brought down that if you eat so much on the day before Yom Kippur, it's like you fasted 2 days.
Yeah.
So obviously, you know, everyone knows Yom Kippur, God mercifully erases all the sins before we have done. to God. However, God does not erase the sins that we do between us and man. It is up to us to man up and go to the person that we hurt, that we were bad to, whatever it may be, and ask that person for forgiveness. Once that person gives you forgiveness, then God then forgives us and gives us a healthy, happy, and we should not only be granted a healthy, happy, but we should be sealed in the book of life, in the book of health, in the book of prosperity, in the book of happiness, and God should give every single one of us, every single person, a Shana Tova, a healthy, happy, sweet New Year with the seal of good life and a seal of happiness. And so that is, in short, a little bit about Yom Kippur.
So, Rabbi, you want to tell us about the services in Yom Kippur, in Shabbat?
Absolutely. We have the services Friday evening, which is going to be the Kol Nidre, which is going to be at 7:30. Services in the morning is going to be at 9 o'clock. During that, there is also going to be the Yisgur service through in the middle of the day, as well as we have the Mincha service and Ilo service. So the times for the services are tomorrow night 7:30, and then we have Saturday morning the actual day of Yom Kippur at 10 o'clock. I'm sorry, at 9 o'clock, and then we have the Yisgur, which is in between the service. I can't tell you an exact time. Then we have the Mincha service, which is then followed by Ne'ilo, which will be starting the Mincha service at 6:30, and 7:15 is going to be the Ne'ilo service, and the fast is over at 8:27, I believe. And then we have a big break to fast after that. So it's a full day of sitting in synagogue and asking God, you know, things that we need, and God to grant us whatever we need in our life.
Rabbi, I want to wish you a Chatima Tova.
You too, thank you. And an easy fast.
And an easy fast.
And next year we talk, we'll be talking from Jerusalem.
God's willing. Thank you again.
All right, be well. Bye-bye. Okay, bye-bye.